John chapter 4. I hope you got your Bible. And now that we got done away with open mic night, we'll just go ahead and get to preaching. John chapter 4. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Before I turn there, though, I wanted to congratulate the Edenhoffers. They got them a house, and they moved in this week. And thank some of y'all that helped them. I don't know who all helped, but I know somebody did. And boy, what a blessing to have somebody to help you move in a house. Amen. John chapter 4. I hope you got there. We'll start with verse 3, if you will. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of the Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Amen. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come thither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Skip down for the sake of time, verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Boy, I like that. I like that. What a story. We could all put our name in there somewhere, couldn't we? Amen? Amen. 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 Here's a woman. Didn't even know. She didn't know. She didn't know how to get that water. And she was looking for something, and she did not know what she was looking for. You say, how you know that, preacher? Because she was married five times and living with a man who wasn't even her husband. She was searching for something or somebody she thought could satisfy her or please her. And she done went through four men working on a fifth one trying to find somebody that could feel that deepest need that only God can feel. Amen. Now we're fixing to have Christmas. Everybody says they love Christmas. And it seems like around Christmas everybody loves the Lord. And by the way, sometimes I want to look at Christians and say, well, if you love the Lord, how come you look so sad? How come you're mad all the time, you know? But everybody's going to say, I love the Lord, and everybody's going to sing Christmas songs, and everybody's going to talk about the little baby in the manger. But let me ask you something. What would it be like if somebody asked you, Why do you love the Lord? Why do you? Now, you get a lot of answers. You ask 10 different people, you'll get 10 different answers. One of them told me one time, said, well, he saved my marriage. Well, that's wonderful. Both of you still going to hell, but he saved your marriage. I had another one tell me one time, well, I love him because he saved me from a car wreck. I was supposed to die. I died 3 times. They brought me back to life. And I thought to myself, well, that's wonderful, but you're going to die again. Where are you going? And they'll give you all kind of reasons. One time somebody told me they know that they love God and God loves them because they had a great bank account and God had given them everything they got. Now, that's all the wrong reasons. Every one of them is the wrong reason to love Jesus Christ, to love that little baby in the manger. So, I'm going to tell you today why I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can put your picture in here if you want to. You can claim it if you want to. But don't lie about it. If this is not true, don't go around telling people. But here's my reasons. Number one, I want you to turn to Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15. Now, I know why the woman at the well loved him. Because he gave her that eternal water.
Thank you, Lord.
He satisfied that thirst that nobody else could satisfy. And she didn't go around grumbling about that. She ran to town and was happy and shouting and clamoring. Come see a man that told me all I ever did was laugh. I think she's smiling while she said it. Is not this the Son of God? Is this not the Christ? If you're going to read the story, she brought people back to him. People came back to him because of her. But here's what I think. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Well, let's start with verse 14 so you'll understand a little bit better. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. You know why I love the Lord? Because of His past action.
Amen.
He has lived a life I cannot live. He has lived a sinless, pure, perfect life from the day He was that little baby in the manger until the day they nailed Him on that tree. He lived a pure, perfect, sinless life, and I love Him for what He did in the past.
Amen.
Now, He's taking care of me now, and He's going to take care of me in the future, but I love Him for what He did in the past. He became the high priest by standing in my place and suffering for my sins and living that perfect, sinless life I can't live, and then He lived that sinless, holy example and became my substitute. Romans 5:8, but God commends His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till we got better. He didn't wait until we were born even. In the past, He saw you before you were ever born. And He saw your sinfulness, and He was willing to take every bit of that and let God place that on Him and die on the cross in your place so you could have everlasting life. I like that. Look, I like that. I don't have a God because of me doing anything. It's all because of what He did in the past. I love Him because He didn't just die. He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. He got up out of the grave after living a sinless life, dying in the sinner's place. He rose up out of that grave 3 days later to prove that He was God and the sacrifice had been accepted.
Amen.
He took that blood up to heaven, into that heavenly tabernacle, and He sprinkled that blood, His own blood, not the blood of bulls and goats and sheep and turtle doves, but He took His own blood, holy, pure, perfect, undefiled blood, and He sprinkled it on that mercy seat, and that paid for the sins of the whole world. They are paid in full, and if you don't get saved, if you don't go to heaven, it will simply be because you refuse what He's already done in the past. It's done. It's finished. When he died on that cross, that last thing he said, Father, I commend my spirit into thy hands. I commend my spirit. He said, it is finished. It's done. The sacrifice is done. Everything's complete. And if you die and go to hell, it'll be because you don't believe what he did in the past.
Amen.
Number two, I love the Lord because Hebrews 7:25. Here I go again. We'll have to read 24 to give you a little better understanding. But look at verse 24. I hate to leave anybody hanging. But this man, who? Jesus Christ. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, because of that, because his priesthood will never change, because he'll never die, because it's finished, wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, I love him for his present activity. I love him for what he's doing right now. Did you know, because of who he is and the life that he lived, that right now he can intercede for me and you, and we can't even intercede for ourselves? I mean, now he's God. He didn't have to do that. But he loved us so much that he didn't just live a life I can't live, and he didn't just die a death I can't die, and he didn't just raise himself up, I can't raise myself up, but he went up on high, and right now he's interceding for us. He's like a lawyer standing before the judge, and where we would be condemned, he is getting us justified every day, all day long, unworthy as we are.
Amen.
See, some people think they ought to go to heaven. They do. Some people think they ought to go to heaven. You ask people that. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. Why? Well, I'm a good person. They'll say that. Well, I give to the Salvation Army. Well, I belong to the church. Well, I sing in the choir. Well, I have a ministry. Well, I'm a preacher. Well, I'm a Sunday school teacher. That doesn't merit you not one second in heaven. Not one second. We do that because we love him. Not to be saved, but because we're already saved. Amen?
Yes.
And these people think that they don't need the Lord interceding for them. They really think that. Sometimes you'll talk to people and you'll say, well, I'm praying for you. They'll say, don't pray for me. I don't need you to pray for me. That's as dumb as a box of rocks right there, buddy. Listen, we need prayer. But thank God we've got the supreme advocate in heaven praying for us daily. Amen? Every minute of every hour he's interceding for us. And he said, Father, look here, I've already paid for that. That's already been paid for on the cross. There's my blood on the altar. Oh, Billy, I know he don't deserve it, but there's my blood right there. He paid for him. And I know, poor Ron, he's not living it like he ought to all the time, but it's already paid for. You can't cancel it now. Amen. Amen. Hey, boy, if we get lost, we'd be in trouble, wouldn't we? But thank God, because he intercedes for us, we can't be lost. Did you know he's preparing a place for me right now? John 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, he's already, right now, that's the activity. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ went to heaven for, intercede for us and prepare a place for us. Now, he wasn't just talking about that mansion. He was talking about all of heaven is being prepared for all the saints through all the ages, that when we get there, we'll fit right in and have a wonderful place. He's preparing a place for us right now. A fellow told me one time, he said, ain't you afraid of missing heaven? I said, no, I got a reserved seat, man. That's what he said. He said, ye who are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, I already got a seat, man. It's waiting on me. Amen? I ain't never had nothing reserved for me, man. Thank God. I got a heavenly reservation, and that's what the Lord Jesus... Now, I love him for that. You know why? March 5th, 1978, I received him as my Savior. I didn't deserve to go to heaven that day. He saved me anyway. He washed away all my sins. And ever since then, he's been washing away my sins. And ever since then, he's been preparing me to go to heaven. And he's preparing a place in heaven for me to have when I get there. Y'all understand that? It ain't just, I got saved. No. The rest of your life, he's preparing you to fit in to the place that He's preparing for you in heaven.
Amen.
You understand that? There's some people think they're going to heaven, and when they get there, if they get there, I don't know if they're going or not, but if they did happen to go, by the way they live, they act, they're going to be so out of place, they're going to look like a wart on Miss America's nose. I don't know where that come from. That divinely inspired. A wart right on Miss America's nose. And they're going to be so out of place. Just think about it. If you've been saved, but you're not living for God, you're not doing anything for God, you got a bad attitude, you can't keep a family, can't keep friends, you're not faithful to church, you're not faithful to tithe, you're not faithful to read your Bible, got a bad attitude, but you're saved, and you wake up in heaven, think how out of place you're going to be.
Come on now.
Never thought about that, did you? Well, that'll get on you next time you're at work wanting to complain, won't it? He's preparing us, and every day He's preparing a place for the people whom He has prepared to fit in that place. Nobody else could fit in your place. You ever thought about that? And I love Him for that, because see, I feel out of place about everywhere I go. I always feel like the oddball. I always feel, and you know what my wife does everywhere we go somewhere, she says, "Now listen, don't make fun of the food." First, straight from the top. She'll say, don't touch anything. Did y'all's wives ever tell you that? Huh? You ain't admitting that? Did y'all's wives ever tell you that? Don't you make fun of that food. And my wife told me that one time we went to this wedding, they had a super nice reception after the wedding. And of course, I don't fit real well in receptions, and they had a real nice reception. And we went in, they had reserved places, you know, with your name on them, and all these beautiful dishes, things like you'd like to do. And all these beautiful dishes and things like that, you know. And she told me, she said, "Don't you make fun of food." And they brought us out this little old salad. I'm talking little old salad too, little old salad. And I'm sitting over and I'm eating things and I don't mind salad, but when you put things in, I don't know what it is. It kind of bothers me. So I'm eating. I'm being a good husband. I'm eating. I ain't saying nothing. Then whenever we get through to Sally, my brother-in-law, Buddy Gill, who's in heaven now. He was raised up, you know, in ways like that. He knew how to act. He went to the Citadel, and he knew how to act. And my wife and all my family always bragged on Buddy, how good Buddy was, and how sweet Buddy was, and how educated Buddy was, and how polite Buddy was, and all this stuff, you know. He was the one fellows that he would come when it was time to eat on Christmas, and then after eating, he'd sit on the couch for 15 minutes. He'd say, "Well, I got to go. I got to get me a nap." And you'd say, "Well, I'm going too." And your wife would say, "You ain't going nowhere. You got to help us clean this mess up." "Bye, buddy." That was him. And we're sitting there and we pushed them plates back. And somebody said something about that salad. I think his wife. He said, "Well, it's pretty good except for that poison oak. I couldn't eat that poison oak in there. It was just..." He said, "It looked just like poison oak. I couldn't eat it." But see, I've always felt like that. But you know, when you go to heaven, they're not going to be a salad you don't know how to eat. Amen. He's preparing a place for you, and He's preparing you to fit in your place. I love Him for that. Because I'll be honest with you, when I get to heaven, I wouldn't know how to fit in if it wasn't being preparing me. How about you? I didn't come from nothing like heaven. Amen. I wasn't raised nothing like heaven. We can go to the other H word on that, amen? Yeah. People ask me a lot of times, "You're from Lancaster, you know so-and-so, you know so-and-so." I say, "Are they good people?" They say, "Yeah." I say, "Did they go to church?" They say, "Yeah." I say, "I wouldn't know them. Everybody I know that I knew in Lancaster came under the three L's. They in jail, out on bail, or already in hell. I didn't know any good people in Lancaster. I wasn't prepared to go to heaven. If I'd have went, I'd been out of place." Amen? So I love him for that. Not just what he did in the past on Calvary. Thank God he did. Not for just what he did in the past rising from the grave. Thank God he did. But I'm glad for what he's doing right now. He's interceding for me. He's my lawyer. He's my advocate. And he's also preparing a place for me so when I get to heaven, I'll fit right in. Amen? Some of y'all ought to be saying amen on that one. Amen? And then, listen, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. Now, why do you love the Lord, people will ask you. I said, well, I love him because he saved me in the past. I love him because he died for me. I love him because he lived a life I can't live. I loved him because he rose that third day to show that the sacrifice had been accepted. I love him because right now he's interceding for me. And I love him because he's preparing a place that even I will fit in heaven. But I also love him for something else, a promise that he made to me and a promise he made to you. Now, I don't have any new revelations. You go to these churches, you know, and the pastor, preacher, evangelist, or some guy stand up and say, the Lord just gave me a new revelation. I just shut my ears up when they say that. Because he's not fixing to quote scripture. He ate bad pizza or something, had a bad dream. Or either he smoked something funny and had a good dream. I don't know where he got it from, but he didn't get it from the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
My revelation is the Word of God. And I'll say, why do you love the Lord? He saved me from a car wreck. Well, that's wonderful. He saved me from a car wreck. But are you going to heaven? Well, he saved my marriage. That's wonderful. You got a great marriage. I'm glad you got a good marriage. Even lost people can have a good marriage. Amen?
Amen.
Well, he gave me a job. Thank God. There's few that will work nowadays. You got a job. Hallelujah. Amen. I had this vision one time. Now you can just go ahead and stop right there. I don't want to hear that. Not true. The devil gave you that vision. He gave us some promises in the Word of God. We don't have to doubt. We don't have to dream it up. We don't have to make this stuff up. It is in the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. You've got God's Word on it. You can take it to the bank. Well, I just feel like, throw your feelings away and get you a Bible. Well, I felt led. Well, get you a Bible. You'll felt read. Amen. You can be misled. You can't be misread if you read the Word of God. Amen. So he made us some promises. I like those promises. He promised to save me and to keep me. Thank God. He promised to prepare a place for me in heaven. Thank God. He promised to prepare me to go to my prepared place. But there's another promise that I really like. This is the hope, and this is the promise that we all need to look at and remember, okay? Now, I hope you have a wonderful life. That's my favorite Christmas movie. It's A Wonderful Life. I feel like that man sometimes. It's A Wonderful Life. I love it. Me and my kids used to watch it. Maybe I can entice Becky to come over to the house and watch it with me this year. It's A Wonderful Life. I cry every time I cry. I do. I cry like a little old baby. But don't get too happy. My next best movie is The Grinch That Stole Christmas. I love him. I love him. We'll hire somebody to do that. Maybe we get some kids saved. Amen. 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 I love that guy. I like his dog. I can't stand all them little pug-nosed people. But I like him. I like his dog. Amen. You got to give it to the dog. He won't quit. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. I hope the coming year that God will bless you like he ain't never blessed you. I hope your bank account grows. I do. I'm never jealous of somebody being successful. I'm never jealous of somebody getting what they need. Amen? I hope your kids turn out good. If that happens, you'll see a miracle. But there's some greater promises than that in the Bible. Christianity is not just about money and happiness and a good family and a good marriage. Look here. If you'll turn with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. You there yet? Say amen if you're there. All right, verse 52. He said, well, here I go again. Verse 51, I have to explain the whole thing. I know what the verse means, but I'm afraid there's some that don't. So read 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this old flesh, it's corruptible. It'll rot. It'll get cancer. It'll get disease. It's corruptible. This corruptible must put on incorruption. That immortal body. They'll never corrupt, never get sick, never die. And this mortal must put on immortality. It'll live forever. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And then he taunts death. He taunts death. Listen to what he says. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and Jesus is going to remove the sin. And the strength of sin is the law, and we won't need the law anymore. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's the promise. He's coming again to take me to be with Him. Now I got the best wife. I do. I got the best wife. Boy, she can cook. She can cook. Now she don't get too excited. She learned how to cook on me. She taught Suzanne how to cook. One time Suzanne came over to the house. She hadn't been married long. I think she was married by then. She came over to the house. She said, I'm going to make a cake of cornbread. And she went in there and got something out of the cabinet and made the prettiest cake of cornbread you ever seen. Except it wasn't cornbread, it was grits. You remember that, Becky? You remember that? She made grits cornbread. And my wife taught her that. But I got wonderful children. I've got children. Look, my children are wonderful. I've never known a man more happy with his children than me. Boy, I got the family I wish I'd have been in growing up. Amen. I've got those girls. They're my girls. Amen. My mama's still alive. January 27th. Ain't that mama's birthday? I can't remember right now, but I think it's January 27th. She'll turn 99. She can't remember what she ate for breakfast, but she can tell you what she cooked me for breakfast 59 years ago. If a man could ever be satisfied and happy with things on this earth, I believe I'm about there. Really. God's been good to me. Or to be in hell. I ain't in hell. I ain't even been a good Christian. It would have thrown me off a long time ago. Throwed off for y'all Yankees. That means thrown me away. Throwed. You know. Listen. If being a good Christian was a requirement for heaven, I'd have messed that up a long time ago. Hey, if being a good husband keeps a good woman, I'd have messed that up a long time ago. If being a good father would have kept good children, I'd have messed that up a long time ago. You know what? God's been in every bit of it.
Amen.
And listen, because of what He did in the past, He paid for my sins. And what He's doing right now is interceding for my sins. And what He's going to do in the future, you know what? He's going to completely finish this thing and there'll be no more sin.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
The trumpet's going to... by the way, we all battle it. Don't sit there like a hypocrite and act like you've arrived. You haven't. Every day you ought to confess your sins. Every day. Every day. Well, I didn't sin yesterday. You just did. You lied. Well, I ain't drank liquor. Well, that ain't the only sin in the world. Well, I ain't rob a bank. That's not the only sin in the world. Sometimes your old tongue is sinful. He said, if you can bridle that thing, you can bridle the whole body if you can get control of that thing right there. saying things we ought not say, talking about people we ought not talk about, running people down, criticizing people, hurting people. That thing right there, set on fire of hell, that's what he said. But thank God one day we get a glorified tongue and we can sing a song that the angels can't even sing. But he's coming to get us to do that. And I love him for that.
Amen.
If I died today as a Christian, I would not regret any part of my Christian life. Not one part.
Amen.
I might regret some things I've done, but I'll not regret anything that he's done for me. Amen. Since the day I've been saved, I'll not regret it. I could die a satisfied, happy Christian right now, right today. My worst day as a Christian is better than my best day as a lost man dying and going to a devil's hell.
Amen.
We'll be jumping pews.
Yes.
Well, preacher, I don't like you. Well, that's not a qualification for heaven. Well, preacher, I don't like my neighbor. That ain't a qualification for heaven. You ought to thank God for what he's done for you.
Amen.
And listen, if there was no heaven, we'd still be better off for what he's done in the past and in the present. What he's doing right now. But thank God that's not the end. There is coming a day when the trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we be. Hey, and he said, comfort one another with these words. I got some people in heaven I want to see.
Amen.
I want to see him. He's the first one I want to see. Well, I got some other people up there. Everybody in this room, we've got other people up there. But we can't go like this. You say, preacher, I spent $200 on Max Factor and Avon. That's because you got corrupt flesh. You got to keep cleaning it up and painting it up. And by the way, don't misunderstand me. Some people need a little paint. You mean, preacher, Lord forgive me. This fellow came to church one day, he reminded me of this fellow came to church. He said, preacher, you think it'd be wrong if I grow a beard? I said, no, sir, cover up all the ugly you can. He thought I was joking, he laughed. This old corrupt body is, hey, look, this thing's falling apart. Went to the eye doctor, she said, you know that you got a cataract coming on, don't you? I said, only old people get cataracts. She said, you're 63 years old. It's time to get a cataract. But it's only bad in one eye. Just close that eye. Don't laugh. You get up in the morning, you say, good Lord, this morning. Sister Hazel's husband sitting over there sick unto death. His old corrupt flesh. Sister Bonnie going through all kind of treatments and medicine stuff, that old corrupt flesh. Sister Shaverin sitting back there, sometimes can't hardly breathe. Got a bad knee. Brother Rudy's eyes, Pat's eyes. Listen, David, we're falling apart, man. I don't pick on you. I need to pick on you more. You sit on the front. That thing right there. I told a fellow the other day, I said, you need to take a bath every day. You stinketh. Why? Because that stuff's falling apart. It's rotten in every day. And every day we get closer to the end. But thank God I got a promise. I'm going to get me a new body.
Amen.
I'm going to get a new body. And it's going to be just like his. And that's the promise he's gave me. And I love him for that. Y'all can laugh at that if you want to, but I love him because he's going to give me a new body.
Amen.
Hey, by the way, if you think that's funny, go to nursing home sometimes.
Right.
I'd change your mind about it. We're going to get a new body. No more sickness. No more cemeteries. No more death. And by the way, you say, well, that don't bother me. Well, it ought to bother you when it happens to other people.
Amen.
selfish, self-centered people. Listen, well, thank God that everybody's getting a new body. And that's a promise He gave me. And I love Him for it. Is that why you got saved? No, I got saved to stay out of hell, but He's going to give me a new body anyway. Amen? Now, how about you today? Why do you love the Lord? Why do you love the Lord? If you don't know Him, you can't love Him. But to know Him is to love Him. So if you don't love the Lord today, if there's not an affection in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's simply because you don't know Him. Because if you ever met Him, like a lot of us have, you'll fall in love with Him. More and in more ways than anybody could ever count. But if you don't know Him, you can't say, I love Him because you don't even know Him. Let's stand. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Getting close to